Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. I boast in God. I was at the juice bar about 2 weeks ago. A young lady who comes in there often comes in for juices or for a smoothie. She came in there limping. And it was just me and Jerron, the other guy that works there. And I was there, and I asked her what happened to her leg. She told me about, well, I forgot what she said, but she had a brace around her knee and a cane to help her walk. And she talked about how much pain she was in. And so I told her, I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. So then she said, all right, she said, thank you so much. It means a lot to me. So Jerron was like, you know, he's a pastor, right? So then she said, no, I didn't know. I said, well, pastor or not, I would have still prayed for her. And so I prayed for her. I prayed for her knee right then and there. I told her to sit down, do something with her knee. I made her walk for a little while. She was then still in some pain when I prayed for her. And I told her, I said, listen, by the next time you come back, you're not going to be walking here with that cane. She said, wow, thank you. So she put the brace back on, walked out with the cane limping. 3 days later, she came back, but I wasn't there. But then Jerron called me and said, oh, the girl you prayed for, she came back. She said, tell the pastor, thank you so much. I don't need the cane anymore. My leg feels great. All right? So then when I was there a few days later, she came in and she thanked me personally. But I want to let you know this stuff works, whether you're in church, out of church. It can work in a juice bar. It can work in your house. It can work in a supermarket. All you got to do is bring your faith in the now. Come on. And you got to learn how to take authority and you got to look at pain and struggle as opportunities in Christ. Because people's problems and their pains is the opportunity that God will use in order to reveal himself as who he says he is. If you had no needs, you wouldn't realize your need for God. If you had no needs, you wouldn't realize how much you needed him. So people, I heard an old preacher say this. He said, you will never know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And so a lot of times we wait till we lose everything before we call on his name. And then he comes through for us. But I really, again, I said, I want to graduate in a spirit realm and raise up a church that wouldn't have to wait till crisis and emergencies before we focus on God and cry out to him and serve him. Why do we have to wait? I think that's a poverty spirit in actuality, that we wait for emergencies to ask for help. You know, wealthy people ask for help when they don't have a need. Wealthy people keep seeking to learn, keep seeking to grow. You might say, well, I don't need help because I got everything I need. You go to most impoverished areas. The struggle that most impoverished people have is that they are too prideful to ask for help. So today I'm going to preach. I'm coming into a close. Today's the second to last week, and I actually had something else prepared, but I'm going to save that for next week. I just really felt led in my spirit this morning to actually stay around the theme of Father's Day, and I want to talk about, I'm still going to talk about healing, but I'm going to discuss something that at first it may not sound like it has anything to do with healing, but I promise you it will heal you in some way, shape, or form. And I don't really have a title for it or anything like that, but I want to talk about a healing that comes from a father. The healing that comes from a father. So next week, I'm going to close off the series giving you guys some real practical things you can do in order to move in healing, but to also live healthy lives. How many of you have been here for most of this series, or You Can Be Healed, or heard it, listened to it on the podcast, all right? We've been teaching about God's will to heal, and I really believe I laid a great foundation in regards to understanding that healing is not something that you need to ask God when you pray, is it God's will, or if it's God's will to heal. No, I really hope that by now most of you have gained a certainty and a confidence in your heart that God's will is to heal you, that God's will is to not only heal you, but to see you healthy. And I think it's a disservice for the world as a church to preach a God who heals, but then we as a people don't live healthy lives, and that we don't look healthy. That if we preach healing, that we also have to manifest, exhibit, model health. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Because it actually is a contradiction. So one of the things I want to do is, again, at the end of next week, by next week's series, is that we're going to talk about healing and healthy living. What are some of the things that you can do to sustain your healing, to sustain your health, and to improve on your health? There are physical things you can do as well as spiritual things to do. I've been talking a lot about the spiritual things you can do, but there are natural things you can do to actually make sure that you remain healthy, right? Dieting, eating right, exercise, all those natural things that you can do. So we're going to get to that next week. But today I want to talk about healing that comes from a father. I don't have much notes, so I don't even really know how I'm going to do this. But for me, I like to start with the Bible and flow from there. So let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. For those of you that were here, answer me this question. I said there were three levels or three dimensions of a human being. What are the three dimensions of a human being? Very good. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body, three dimensions of a human being. I also said that there were three levels of healing. What are the three levels of healing? Mental healing, spiritual healing, and physical healing. And I also mentioned that what's the lowest level of healing? Physical healing. The lowest level of healing is physical healing. Now, I want you to check this out. This goes into next week's message, but I want you to realize that if you get a cut on your body, what is your body going to try to do? Heal itself. Your body does not have to ask if it's God's will before it heals itself. It's automatic. It's instinctive inside of your own flesh to heal itself. Because it was already embedded in us from the beginning that God wants you healthy. A bacteria comes in your body, your body's cells are going to begin to fight whatever it is because God designed you to live a fully free and healthy life. Come on. So the reason why we're still debating on whether it's not God's will is not a physical thing. This is a mental thing. What is it that's warring against you mentally that makes you doubt whether or not God wants you healthy? Mentally and spiritually. I'll tell you who it is. The prince of this world, the deceiver, the enemy, the Bible shows us, wants you to be sick. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. And so we have to begin to realize that we have to take authority. Everybody say authority. We have to take authority, and we have to take personal responsibility of our own health. And we have to make sure, for example, we give our body the nutrients that it needs to fight and to make sure that it's healed and make sure that it remains whole, all right? So now we have three levels of healing, mental or emotional, physical, and spiritual. Now I want to show you something profound. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 13. Let's go back to 7. I want you to see this in context, all right? One more, 6. So Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what?
To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now look at that term, spiritually minded and carnally minded. What's the difference? That's a good way to put it. The thought processes, the mindsets, two different mindsets. A mind that is carnal is a mind that's focused on the natural more than the spiritual. So when I'm teaching you about who God is and who God says you are, I'm teaching you spiritual truth. And spiritual healing is the highest level of healing, because once you're spiritually minded, it produces life and it produces peace. I believe it was in week one I told you that the first defense or the greatest force of developing immunity in your body is establishing the right beliefs. That if you have the wrong beliefs about yourself, it'll make you sick. And if you have the right beliefs about yourself, it'll make you healthier. So John told us, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your what? Your soul prospers. I wish that you'd be in good health and you will prosper as your soul prospers. So, and lets us know that the condition of our souls has an impact on the conditions of our physical bodies. And our soul contains our mind, our will, and our emotions. So if I'm not emotionally healthy, for example, it can impact my physical health. If I'm not mentally healthy, it can impact my physical. All these things are interconnected, and I really want us to develop a holistic view of ourselves, because it's not, you know, I can invest in my spirit and not have to take care of my body. No, because if you don't take care of your body naturally, you'll become sick naturally, which will also impact how well you can operate spiritually. Just try to operate without any rest, not getting enough sleep. When you're tired, it's hard for you to pray, right? I'm talking about physically, like you just didn't get enough sleep. You try to read your Bible, you fall asleep. You can't be spiritual if you're physically tired. All right? So all these things, you need your spirit, soul, and body. You need to take care of it all. But here it is in this passage of Scripture. Paul tells us to be carnally minded is death or deadly. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the mind that's only focused on the flesh, or the mind that's only focused on the natural, a mind that's only depending on its own natural strength, is enmity against God, or it wars against God. Those who are carnally minded depend on their own natural strength, their own natural abilities. They depend on their own efforts to keep themselves strong, to keep themselves, to make themselves wise. They depend on their intellect. They depend on their degrees. They depend on their achievements. But the Bible says that to be spiritually minded, it means that we have our mind on the Spirit. We have our mind on the grace of God. We have our mind on the God who is enabling us and empowering us to live a new life. Amen? A greater life, a life that we couldn't achieve before we met Christ. So the Bible says the carnal mind wars against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Watch this, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So now he tells you, once you have learned to receive the Spirit of God, once you've learned to receive the Holy Spirit in your life, you automatically become spiritually. He said, if you are not in the you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you don't have to get in the Spirit if you are in Christ. You already are in the Spirit. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because you have the right to live in the Spirit. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. What's mortal? Your natural body. The Bible literally tells you in verse 11, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you, he will also quicken. That means to strengthen or bring to life. It will quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So the Bible tells you, as you learn how to commune and have connection and relationship with the Spirit of God in you, it'll literally bring your natural body life. God will give your physical body strength. This is supernatural strength I'm talking to you about. Say supernatural strength. See, if I don't teach you about the supernatural, you'll always be carnally minded. Say supernatural one more time. Do you know the Bible tells you in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you are partakers of God's divine nature? Divine. Everybody say divine nature. You have access to a divine nature. See, the religion will make you feel like you can't talk about God, or you and God can't be in the same equation or conversation. But the Bible tells us that you actually partake or share or fellowship in God's nature, God's divine nature. God doesn't get sick. God doesn't have mental breakdowns. God doesn't have addiction problems. So the Bible says the same nature that's in God is now in you because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has now taken residence on the inside of you. Say amen.
Amen.
See, this gives you power to break through. Now, if you depend on your own natural strengths, then you are carnally minded, and that brings death. See, this is why even when your natural energy dissipates at the end of your life, you still are going to come back to life because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead bodily now lives in you. So your physical body is going to even come back to life when this lifetime ends. But those who don't have the Spirit of God won't be brought back to life. They'll be in hell. Right? Now, let me show you something beautiful. Let's keep reading. There, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, but for if you live after the flesh, you will die. How many of you want to die? How many of you want to live? All right. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How? Through the Spirit. Not through your own strength, but through the Spirit. By the way, in the summer, we're going to spend the entire summer learning about the Spirit, learning how to, we're going to actually teach you on the Holy Spirit so that you can actually be filled. Because if you don't know if you're filled, you're probably not. So if you're not, then we need you to be filled so that you can experience what I'm talking about, all right? Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led, directed, governed by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So this lets us know that everybody that is not a son of God. Every Christian is not a son of God, quote unquote Christian. As a matter of fact, you cannot be a Christian without the Spirit of God. Being a Christian is not what we've made it into, just a religious, just something that we quote or we identify with. You fill out a form, they ask you what's your religion, you put Christian. Your grandmother went to church. You're not Muslim. You're not Buddhist. So the closest religion you identify to is Christian. It's Christianity. But the truth of the matter is, when you really want to get to the root of this thing, being a Christian, number one, that word Christian is Christ. So when you say you're a Christian, what you are saying is that the same spirit that was on Jesus is now on you. What does that mean? First and foremost, we understand that Jesus' last name was not Christ. Jesus' last name was not Christ. He was Jesus the Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. Anointed with who? Anointed with the Spirit of God. So when you say you're a Christian, what you are saying is that the same Spirit that Jesus was anointed with, that allowed him to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, love sinners, be patient with all sorts of people, the same Spirit that was in Jesus is now in you, enabling you to live the same life that Jesus lived. Okay? So, you are, say, I am a Christian.
I am a Christian.
That means Christ is in me.
That means
the anointed one is in me.
That means
there is power in me
to
do the impossible. Come on. See, this is me speaking to your spiritual mind. I'm not talking to your carnal mind right now. See, the old school church, they used to talk about your carnal, if you still listen to secular music, or you're being carnal because you still want to go to a party. You're being carnal because you still want to watch TV. Nah, just TV, period. Lipstick, that's being carnal. If you want to wear skirts and not, I mean, you want to wear pants instead of skirts, you're being carnal. You want to look like the world. But being carnal also, let me tell you, you know what being carnal is? Not being able to lay hands on the sick and watching them heal. Being carnal is looking at somebody and judging them prematurely. Labeling someone, not showing mercy, not showing grace and forgiveness, that's being carnal. That's being carnal. Because you're not seeing people from the finished work of Christ. Now let me key in on this verse. The Bible says that we are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. So now, Paul is letting us know that the spirit that we have received has now given us the ability to no longer have fear. Now, why is this important to know? 1 John 4 lets us know that the perfect love of God drives out all fear. So what is it about fear? Fear is actually the opposite of love. In fact, fear was the first manifestation of sin in the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was hide. They hid from God. God comes into the garden, said, Adam, where are you? Adam is hiding in a bush somewhere, as if God couldn't see him. So Adam was hiding from God, a sign of fear. And then God told him later on, Adam, who told you that you were naked? Insecurity. Why? Because insecurity, fear, shame, all these things come into our hearts after we forget who we are. And if we don't know who we are, we'll give in to those feelings and those emotions. There are two basic motivations in all of life, love and fear. And you at this moment are either living out of love or you're living out of fear. I'll say it again. You are either living out of love or living out of fear. Think about it. All other emotions evolve out of that. Patience, joy, all those things come out of love. When a person is loved, feels loved, is secure in his identity about himself or herself being loved, they can have joy, they can have peace, they can have patience, they can have self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit. When a person doesn't know how loved they are, then they have fear in their hearts. And when you have fear, it leads to all the works of the flesh, all the works of the demonic. It comes out of fear. So now our emotional health, watch this, our emotional health, our mental health is affected or impacted by the amount of love we know we have. When you don't know how loved you are, you become emotionally unstable in all of your ways. Now, what's the ensuring, or who is the point person responsible, first and foremost, for ensuring that we know that we're loved in this world? Who is responsible, church, to making sure that you know in this world, who is responsible for making sure you know how loved you are? Not Jesus. Your parents. Your mom and your dad, they are the, before you know Jesus, you know your parents. Right? You know your parents before you know Jesus. They are the first authority figures in your life. They're your first role models. They're your first teachers. And what your parents teach you, what your parents instruct you and what your parents raise you to be, even if they didn't raise you, whatever their example was, that also impacted you to become the man or woman that you are today. So we've also come to realize that if we are going to raise up a healthy church, a healthy people, we need to have healthy homes. Come on. If we're going to have a healthy people in our midst, we need healthy homes. We need happy homes. We need fathers who know how to love their kids. We need moms who know how to love their kids. We need fathers who know how to instruct their children the ways of God. We need moms who will example and demonstrate nurturing and care and meekness and modesty. We need fathers who will protect and affirm their children, so that we don't look for it outside. That's right. Come on. If you don't receive it at home, you look for it somewhere else. In the streets, in gangs, in drugs, in parties, in boyfriends, in girlfriends, in bays. All right? You're going to look for the one thing you should have got at home. So a father, number one, we know that from Genesis 1, the foundation of the family was not the mother, but it was the father. Amen. Say amen, man. Amen. The foundation of the home is not the mother, it's the father. Before God created Eve, he created Adam. Before God created a woman, he created a man. God didn't do that by accident. He was giving us an order. Yes. And so God created man. And out of the man, God didn't just see him. He saw every single person that was going to come out of him. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because whenever God does something, he starts with one, but he always has more in mind. So he didn't create man and woman at the same time. He didn't create husband and wife at the same time. He didn't create father and mother at the same time. He created a man first. So the man is the foundation of the home. So this is why our churches are struggling, because our churches are struggling, the house of God is struggling, because we haven't been trying to reach the men first. What God first wanted to create in the garden was, I'm going to start with the man, and everyone else was going to be impacted by that. But we've been leaving the men out, and the women show up, and we minister to the woman. Nothing wrong with that. But the reason why our homes aren't changing, why our cities aren't changing, is because the men are still not being reached. The men are not being changed. A woman will get saved, come to church. Her husband will stay home. The kids might stay with him, stay home, or they may come. If a man gets saved, he comes to church, and everybody's coming to church. That's how it works. That's how powerful the man is. He's the foundation. So what happens, let me show you, I want you to give you guys some notes, because you guys are going to go back home and think about this. But the absence of a father, when a father is not present, it produces a few things. When a father is absent from a home, it produces a number of things, which, I mean, you get into rooms where I've heard police officers, government officials talk about what they feel were what's the number one issue in the city or the community that they serve. And all across the country, they will say fatherlessness. The problem that they see is that there are not enough fathers and dads in these children's life. And so I believe what is on God's heart and what's in spiritual mind in this hour is that God wants to raise up natural and spiritual fathers, men who will literally step into other men's life, other children's life, other kids' life, and be able to provide that fathering instinct, that fathering care, that fathering concern, that fathering love in the lives of others who don't have their fathers in their lives right now. Whether your dad is dead or your dad is in jail or your dad is out somewhere you never seen before. One thing I love about the house of God is that once you come into God's house is designed to be able to meet and fill every need that you may not have had in your own life. So you can come to church and find a father. You can come to church and find a mother if you didn't have one. You could come to church and find a friend if you couldn't make no friends outside. That's what the church is here to do. If you're rejected outside, the church should be the one place you're accepted. Come on, because we are modeling the unconditional love of God. Now, when a father is absent, it produces a few things, like one, identity crisis, because the first thing a father does is provide identity. The father provides identity. Your father gives you a name, right? When you are born, the first thing that happens is that you normally, you take on the name of your father. Amen? Yes. Even if you get married, you take on the name of your husband. Because why? If you two reproduce, that child is going to take on the name of the father. Amen. Identity crisis when a father is missing. What else? When a father is absent, there are feelings of fear. Feelings of confusion. Confusion, because a father brings stability into your life. Remember, the father is the foundation. If you don't have any foundation, you don't have any stability. If the foundation is faulty and broken up, then that means the stability of that house or structure is also going to be broken apart. And so the reason why emotional healing is a struggle for many people is because they have not received a love of a father yet. and a love of a father can heal you of any emotional issues or wounds in your own life. And that doesn't even have to come from your natural father. Just a father. Someone who does the job of a father. Because just because someone donated sperm to your mother doesn't make them your father. You have to raise father as more than just giving birth. After the birth, you have to raise up your children. You have to train them. You have to correct them. Come on, you have to model to them. You have to love them. Come on, Dad, say amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Come on. And when that's not there, then you got all the issues I'm talking about. Feelings of fear, confusion, unrest, emotional instability, intimacy issues. Intimacy issues. There's so many women right now who are wonderful women who cannot relate to a man because they didn't have a father.
Amen.
And they're wondering why they can't get married. And when they do find a good man, they don't know how to maintain him because they have not received the love of a father. And so here's the deal. You also have men who don't know how to love a woman properly because they didn't have a father in their life to show them how to do it. And then number two, they didn't see love in their home. And then if you don't learn how to forgive your dad for what he couldn't do, you're going to hold on to that offense in your heart and you're going to spew that on the person you meet. Then you expect men to be fathers to you, who are only supposed to be husbands to you. But you want them to do the job of what your father was supposed to do. But your husband is not your father. I said your husband is not your father. And your wife is not your mother. Right? We got the trending Zaddy and all that stuff out here. He's my Zaddy. Look at that. We want a man that's going to be our father. See how the carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen? Another issue is that when a father is not in your life, there is a resistance to authority. Resistance to authority. And you don't even realize why you resist authority. Because you didn't have a father that correct in love. A father who would discipline you in love. I remember one of the things that when I had friends, a lot of my friends, when I was growing up, I was one of the only dudes I knew that had a father and a mother and that was married and we lived in the same house. And so I remember years later, like when I was in high school, one of my older friends, my friends when I knew when I was a child, he said to me, I think I was getting in trouble for something. And he said to me, he's like, I wish I had a dad to make me get in trouble. And that changed my life when I heard that. Because I was mad I was going on punishment. He was mad because he didn't have anybody to punish him. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And it was even like a wake-up moment for both of us because even for him, it was like he realized, I didn't realize how much he did not, what he was missing in his life by not having a dad. But that same individual ended up not doing so well in his life. I don't know where he is anymore. But he had a problem with authority. But a cry in his heart was that he would rebel and he would fight and he would get into trouble. But what he was really looking for was for someone to get on his back and tell him, don't do that, son. you're better than this. You don't have to live this way. Come on. Why? Because he was really looking for affirmation and validation. This is what a father does. I heard T.D. Jakes say, one, I'm proud of you from a father, can do more for a child than 1,000 I love yous from a mother. One, I'm proud of you. Because when a father speaks into your life and affirms you of your identity and affirms you of who you are, the questions, the confusion, the unrest goes away. You don't know how, let me tell you, if you don't think affirmation is important, Jesus did not begin his ministry until he heard the Father open up the heavens and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He did not begin his ministry until he heard the affirmation of his Father. Jesus, the Son of God, he needed to hear his Father tell him who he was. So when you don't have a father in your life to tell you who you are, tell you what you're designed to do, to tell you that you're destined for good, and speak life that you can do more than what you are doing right now, and push you on and celebrate you, and speak life into you, then there is a void in your heart that nothing can replace. Nothing can substitute a father. Not even a mother. And mothers who understand this find men who can be fathers in their kids' life. It may not be the dad, it's the biological dad, but it might be a pastor. It might be a coach. Come on, it might be a mentor. When I was a teacher, you know how many parents came to me and asked me to mentor their kids? To do the job what a father should be doing in their lives? This is real. But when a father is present, when a father, you know, the word father means source and origin. Father means origin. It means source. It means where you come from. And because there was a craving in every human heart for a father, there will be voids and there will be vacuums in our hearts that can never be substituted, never be filled with anything else. John 14. Now watch this. John chapter 14. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord. John 14. Here's Jesus getting ready to leave. Remember, Jesus did nothing until he first got his affirmation from the Father, right? As a matter of fact, John 5:19 said, Jesus said of himself, I only do what I see my Father doing. John 14, what Thomas Father doing? Jesus said in John 14, well, Thomas, doubting Thomas, as many people call him, was afraid about when Jesus was leaving the earth. And verse 4 of John 14 reads this, and Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them, don't be afraid. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I don't know why we only read this in funerals. Because he's talking about now. There's a place in the Father that you have access to now. And he said, there are many rooms in my Father. Because a father also provides a home. And a home is a place of celebration, a place of delight. Come on, a place where you are not condemned for who you are, but you're celebrated for who you are. A good home. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a home, a place for you in the Father. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am is that where you also be. Verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5, Thomas then says to him, Lord, we know not where you are going. Therefore, how can we know the way? We don't know where we're going. So how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus then says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now watch this. Thomas, in this moment of fear and uncertainty, says to Jesus, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? See, before you meet Jesus, you don't know where you're going. Your life is meaningless, directionless, purposeless. But then when you meet Jesus and you see where he's going, then you actually find your way. Now watch this. Where was Jesus going? And where did he say he was taking his disciples? Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, everybody say truth, and the life. No man can come where? To heaven? The Father. Don't fly past that. Because for years I read that verse and I just saw it as no man can go to heaven unless they go through Jesus. That's not what he said. Where is Jesus taking the church? Where is Jesus taking his disciples? Where is Jesus taking his followers? To the who?
Father.
The Father. Everybody say the Father.
The Father.
In other words, Jesus saying, I'm bringing you. The whole reason why Jesus came wasn't just to heal you. Wasn't just to deliver you. It was to take you to the Father. The source. The origin. And if you don't know the Father, then you're going to make Christianity about something else. It's not about you becoming a more better person. It's not about you becoming more spiritual. It's about you getting to know your Heavenly Father. And once you know the Father, then you can experience the fullness of what God had in store for you. Imagine this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten what? Angel? Only begotten son. God gives us a son to solve our problems. For God so loved us that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God looked at the world's problems, the world's issues, and said, what we need is a son. What we need is family. And if you know the son, then you can meet the father. And once you meet the father, all your other problems are going to be dealt with. If I don't teach you about sonship, I failed as a preacher and as a pastor. The revelation of sonship is the greatest revelation there is in the Bible. Why? Because at the end of your life, you're not going back to God as prophet. You're not going back to God as apostle. You're not going back to God as teacher or doctor or lawyer. You're not going back to God as entrepreneur. You're going back to God as a son or a daughter. I know we build our identity today around our job, bishop, occupation, bishop. That's not what you're going to heaven as. You're going to heaven as a son. Come on. And if you don't know your position in God as a son or daughter, then you're going to live the rest of your earthly life beneath your privileges, beneath your rights, not aware of your inheritance, never living in the supernatural, in the abundance that God has made available for you. You'll never come to maturity in this life Because all of this comes as a result of knowing your identity in God's sight as his son or as his daughter. Your identity is not rooted in where you come from, your culture, even the name that you carry, your last name. That's secondary. That's why Jesus says you are now born again. You are born from above. Your nature in this life is now secondary to your nature in heaven. Come on, do you know who you are in God? Do you know who you are in Christ? When God sees you, he doesn't see an orphan, he doesn't see a servant, he doesn't see a slave. God sees a son or a daughter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you know that God sees you as his son and his daughter, then you also believe that God will meet the void or meet the need of any father in your life that he could not meet in your own life. So if you didn't have a father to affirm you, our father affirms you. If you didn't have a father to love you, our heavenly father loves you unconditionally. If you didn't have a father to teach you the ways of provision, God will provide for you so that you can understand that all will be taken care of. If you didn't know that you had a father that can bring that security and peace that you wanted in life, your heavenly father will do that for you. But you have to relate to Jesus the way Jesus says he wants to be related to. Jesus said, when you come to me, don't just stop at me. I'm just the door. But I'm opening up a way for you to know the Father. Hallelujah. You need to know God as your Father. Woo, my time is up. Can I give you one more verse? One more verse? Go back to Romans. Romans 8. Right where we stopped. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Ha! Huh? Heirs of God. Yeah. That we are now heirs with Christ. Woo. God is telling an orphaned planet that we are now heirs. Heirs, inheritors of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Do you know what joint means? It means that you are now equal. Hallelujah. Equal heirs. That what Jesus inherits from the Father, you also get to inherit from the Father. That as far as God is concerned, from now on, there is no difference between you and Jesus. Yes. Oh, come on, y'all don't want to accept this. There is no difference between you. God doesn't have a love for you, for Jesus, that's greater than the love he has for you. He loves you with the same love he has for his own son. Woo! And he's put you in Christ, and the Bible says he's made you a joint heir. You share in the inheritance of heaven. Your natural father probably didn't leave anything for you to inherit. But pain, bad memories, loss, lack. But the Bible says because you are now you are now engrafted into Christ, because you are now joint heirs with Christ, the Bible says you now inherit what Jesus inherits. What Jesus gets, you get. What Jesus deserves, you deserve. What Jesus earned, you earned. What Jesus did for you, you receive it all in Jesus' name. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Come on, all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of a people who will begin to identify with their identity as sons of God. So Do you believe in your spirit right now, church, that you are sons of God? In your spirit right now, do you believe that? Because it's not about just healing. That's baby stuff. Creation is waiting for the arising, the awakening, because we're asleep right now. Because if we knew who we were in Christ, if we knew who we were in Christ, our emotions won't be so fickle. We won't be so moved with gossip. We won't be moved by who has what to say about us. Depression will be a thing of the past if we know who we are. Suicide will be something that we laugh at next time he tries to talk us into killing ourselves. Come on, if you're a son of God, you're not trying to kill yourself. You're trying to give your life away. You're trying to build others up. You're trying to change this world, bring heaven to earth, reveal who the Father is. But when we don't know who we are, we get so caught up on trying to find ourselves. And we go all over to clubs and to relationships, trying to find ourselves. But Jesus said, God is the Father. He's the source. You find yourself in him. Come on, say, I find myself in the Father's love. Woo, glory to God. Hey, woo, glory to God. La shikene masio. Wora mama masie. Hana masio korabasie. Wosatala masie korababasie. Hallelujah. Woo. You can be healed of all of life's hurts today. Every wound in your heart will be healed as you realize that the Father's love is greater than what anyone has ever tried to do for you. Any rejection, all abandonment issues are washed away in the revelation of how loved you are by Daddy God, by which we can now cry, Abba, Father. Come on, Abba, Father, Daddy God. Hey. Jesus said, from now on when you pray, say, our Father. Come on. Not our God, our Father. Because when sons pray, heaven comes. Whoa! Only sons can bring heaven to earth. Sons can deliver those who are demonically oppressed and tormented. Only sons can walk on water. Only sons can speak to their mountains and tell them move. Come on, do you know who you are? Hey! Only sons can work miracles as a part of your DNA. Because who he is, you are. Whoa! When sons speak those things that are not as though they were, it happens. Come on, stand to your feet. When you are blessed in God and blessed in his righteousness, you realize that when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it wasn't only about him saving you from your sins, it was about him adopting you and bringing you into his family. He sent his son so that you can realize the privilege you have. As many as received him, gave he them power to become sons of God. Yeah. That word power means right, authority, privilege. If you receive Jesus, I want you to realize, don't stop there. He said, come to meet the Father. I'm giving you power today. I'm giving you the right today to call yourself sons of God. To mature in life from the identity and the revelation that you are a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. Woo! See, God is not trying to build up an army. He's not trying to raise an army. He's raising up a family. A family. We are the family of God. Come on, look at everybody around you. This is your family in God. Look at your neighbor. We're family in God. Come on, embrace your family. It's a family reunion today. Come on, come on. It's your family reunion. Not just your immediate family either. Those whom you don't know, get to know them. We're a family. Whoa! And there is one Father over us all. One Father. One Father. Whoa. Yes. I want you to receive the freedom that comes in knowing that you have a perfect Father who wants to supply all of your needs. You have a perfect Father who wants to defend you, protect you. He said he will be a father to the fatherless. He will be a defender to the defenseless. Come on. Let your life be carried away in the revelation of the Father's love. Hallelujah. And as I close, Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible says that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. God is after sons and daughters. Are you a son today? Are you a son today? Come on, are you a son of God? Hey, are you a son? We're not just looking for Christians, we're looking for sons. Hey, sons worship their father. Sons look up to their father. Come on, sons boast in their father. Whoa. Sons admire their father. Sons are impressed by their father. Anything their father says, a son gets excited about. A son wants to be just like their father. Woo. Come on, sons need fathers and fathers need sons. Sons need fathers and fathers need sons. Come on the count of three. I want to hear the cry of sons in this place. I want you to jump to your feet and just begin to say, Abba, 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 Father. God, we love you. Abba, we adore you. Come on, we find our identity in you. Whoa, come on, cry out unto the Lord. Come on, you are my God. You are my dad. You are my father. I shall not want. Whoa. Come on, I know who I am. Come on, you know who you are now. Come on, you know who you are now. Stand, stand in your identity. Come on, everything you need will be supplied in the Father. Well, my CA, he's a person, but he's a place. He's his house. His home is where we reside. Woo! I want you to realize this. Because you are a son, your highest purpose in life is to look like him. I learned this today. When God came into the garden, the greatest disappointment was that when he came into the garden and he saw Adam after he sinned, Adam didn't look like him. Because the greatest joy of a dad is to see himself in his sons. The greatest joy of a dad is to see his son or daughter and say, that's me right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see myself in him. Right? Look, that's why a father, if you tell a father his son or daughter looks like his mother, he gets mad.
Yeah.
What brings pleasure to a father is seeing himself in his children. That's why our delight and our joy in life today as sons of God is to have our lives modeled what he says we ought to look like in his word.
Yeah.
Who Jesus looked like, I want to look like, because Jesus was the firstborn. He showed us what a son looks like, what a son lives like. I want to have the patience of Christ. I want to have the obedience of Christ. I want to have the love of Christ. Why? Because I want to look just like my father. And I want my father to see me and see himself in me. So right now, here's what I want to do. Those of you who didn't have a father, a natural father in your life, consistently, someone who was there for you, I want you to lift up your hands. You didn't grow up with your natural dad. God wants to heal that area in your heart once and for all. Come on. So if you didn't have your dad, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. You didn't have your natural daddy in your life. Come on. Raise it high. Raise it high. If you didn't have him through adolescence, you didn't have him through the stages of your life when you were going through changes, you were discovering who you are. Come on, just raise your hand. All right. Keep your hands raised. Maybe you right now you're going through it. Maybe you're young and you're saying, I don't know who my dad is. Just raise your hand. I want this to be your prayer today. And I learned this from my dad, my natural father. His dad died when he was about 3 years old. So he never had his dad in his life. And he said he remembered walking down the streets in St. Vincent and telling God, God, you are now my father. He was about 8 years old. You are now my father, and you have to take care of me. Because his dad wasn't there. Years later, when my dad moved from St. Vincent to New York, took a leap of faith, then had 3 months' rent. He had 3 months' rent. That's all he had. And he was going through a trying time, trying to find work, hoping that he'll have enough to take care of his family, because at that time he had my brother and he had my mom to take care of. And he said he remembered riding the bus and saying the same thing back to God. He said, God, you are my father. You have to take care of me. You are obliged, he said. You are obliged to take care of me. That was his words. And after he declared that, he just trusted that God will keep his word and take care of him. And then The needs started being met. Jobs started opening up. Opportunities started coming. And he went from having just 3 months' rent in a brand new country to now 30 years later moving back to his country with a mansion, with a pool, with cars in his garage. Come on. On that one premise that because God is his father, he has to take care of him. Because every good father provides for his kids. Come on. So forget about who wasn't there for you, who could not be there for you, because you have a father who promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You have a God who said, I will never turn my back on you. I will always be there for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how old you are right now. God still wants you to know that he is your father. So with your hands raised, come on, I prophesy over you as a spiritual father in this house that the love of God will begin to now evict every negative thought, every offense in your heart towards your father who wasn't there for you, who wasn't able to be there for you, whether it was through death or whether it was through wrong decisions and bad choices. I now release the love of our Heavenly Father to now begin to minister directly into your heart, reminding you that you are his precious cargo. He is your perfect father, and that you are his beloved son or daughter. Come on, receive his love today in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, let him enter in. Jesus wants to teach you how to live as a son in this earth. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, repeat after me. Those with your hands raised, say, Father, I repent. Come on, I can't hear you. You got was more hands raised than those who are speaking. Say, Father, I repent and I let go of any animosity, any pain, any unforgiveness that might be in my heart, whether I know it or not, towards my natural father. I don't want anything in my heart that will cause me to have a wrong perception of you. Forgive me, and I forgive my natural father for not being there, for not showing up, and I receive the love that only you can provide. The love that causes my identity to be stable. I am transformed. I have received the right to become a son of God today. I know who I am. And from this day forward, I will declare that you are my father. You are the source, the origin of all that I need. If there is anything in my heart that I need to be healed from, I give you permission to heal it today. I want all the men to say after me, say, men, say, men, I am a son of God. My performance, my bank account, how much woman I had, does not make me a man. What makes me a man is the fact that I have been created in the image of God. I see who I am when I see my God, when I see my Father in heaven. So from today, I will stop trying to be a man without God. And I will be a man of God. I would get my identity from God. And I would realize my potential through God. And ladies, I want you to repeat after me. Say, men, you are blessed. You are strong. You are wonderfully made. You are able to provide for your families. You are able to meet every need in your home. You are a great provider, a great example of what our Heavenly Father is. Come on. Say, men, you will blossom. You will be everything that God needs you to be in this day and hour. And I bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. That's good.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.